It is 19 minutes before 4 o'clock. We're in conversation next with Lukhona Mngoni, independent political analyst. And then after that, we'll speak to Jomo Sibiya, who is now the former MEC for Human Settlements in KZN. So earlier on today, the newly elected premier of KZN, Nomusa Dube-Ncube, announced a new provincial cabinet. As was expected, some MECs kept their jobs while some were given the boot. MECs who failed to keep their jobs include Gwazi Mshengu, now the former MEC for Education, and also Jomo Sibiya, as I've just indicated, the former now MEC for Human Settlements and Public Works. So what does this tell us about the political dynamics in the province in KwaZulu-Natal? For more analysis, we're joined by Lukhona Mngoni. Lukhona, good afternoon. Thank you so much for making time for us, and also the return of Sihle Zikalala to the provincial cabinet, but this time around as an MEC yet again.
Well, good afternoon, Aldrin. Interesting developments, mainly based on political considerations rather than the skills and expertise that people might be able to bring into the various portfolios. It seems as if you can almost hold any portfolio interchangeably because people have become such great all-rounders. I think there was that need to keep the political unity at least at an aesthetic level of what we can see, but I'm not sure how functional sense of unity will be. You will know, Aldrin, that some people were saying, yeah, those who are not in the PEC maybe shouldn't come back, as you know, or shouldn't be MECs. But we now know in Sihle Zikalala that in actual fact, that argument was false and does not hold because he's not in the PEC, but he's there. But politically, it's to bring him in, appease him. But it's also just another indicator of how difficult it is for politicians to move on. I mean, he has been MEC before, been premier now, and maybe it's time to move on to other challenges in life and apply yourself differently to society. But there always seems to be this sense of limitation outside of public office for some of our politicians.
Then somebody like Siboniso Duma, who could have obviously become the premier if there was that push after his election as the chairperson in the province. However, though, he comes in as the MEC for Economic Development and Tourism and replacing Ravi Pillay. And unlike the two others, like with Jomo Sibiya as well as Gwazi Mshengu, Ravi actually resigned before there was a cabinet reshuffle. So how do we understand, or should we read into this dynamic of Siboniso coming in as an MEC for Economic Development?
Well, remember, Ravi had to resign both as an MEC and a member of provincial legislature to make it possible for Dutuvo Matlaba to be sworn in as an MPL and therefore subsequently appointed as an MEC, former mayor in the town of Newcastle. Look, I mean, Siboniso Duma is now being sort of graduated into tasting governance. He was chair of chairs in the legislature, and so has never really played at that level of being in government. So I suppose this is a way to introduce him to how government works, so that when he eventually decides to put his hand up as premier in 2024, if the ANC will be in a position to swear in a premier in 2024, he would have built up some network, some relationships, some clout in terms of governing and governance.
Mm-hmm. And then the likes of Mbali Fraser as well as Amanda?
Well, look, I think people like Amanda and Mbali Fraser have been in that ANC milieu for some time. They've built their own, standing and respectability within the circles, especially of the Women's League. Amanda, when the whole Amayanga Yanga started in the young women's desk in the Women's League, she was very essential in the driving of that process some years back across KwaZulu-Natal and at the national level. So, and they are sort of Amanda representing a much more youthful generation, part of that preach. And I think what strategically KwaZulu-Natal is doing, if you look, I mean, out of 10 portfolios, 6 are women, and the premier is a woman. And there's also an intergenerational mix. They will probably use this as a clear case study of what can be achieved, and it will probably be their biggest ticket toward the December conference. There have been calls for intergenerational intergenerational mix, gender representation, and all of those. So I think a part of this maneuver that is being done with these appointments is to position KZN as progressive, as a better picture, even though that the top five of the province only has one woman. So it's one thing that you can do with where you are not fundamentally invested, which is the political party and what it enables you to do. So you then compensate for it with the deployment in government. So because, I mean, as much as people celebrate what has happened in the government appointment, the intergenerational mix, the women representation, the big question then becomes, if these people are so progressive, why didn't they achieve it in their top five when they were putting up their lineup? So it tells you that maybe this is not even a genuine commitment, but politics always the art of the possible.
Yeah. And then, of course, leading up to that, leading up to the ANC's elective conference and leading up to the general elections in 2024, is how should we, or what is it that we should read into these dynamics that are at play, that you have the so-called Angola faction, and what role would the Angola faction play leading up to the ANC's elective conference? And with those divisions within the party in the province, how would it have an impact on the party campaigning for the 2024 elections?
Well, I think if there is consensus eventually built, maybe not to contest President Ramaphosa, or at least play your cards close to your chest, as Mpumalanga did in 2017, refused to pronounce on a presidential candidate, which you're already getting that sense of on and off in terms of how this leadership wants to articulate itself, not committed to names, committed to principles. They'll probably play it like that until December 2022, but they'll probably also be very clear on the two names that they want to see coming from KZN, representing KZN in the top six. But that's a very different runway to the national conference versus the runway to the national and provincial elections. They have a lot of work to do. I mean, you're not going to convince people from Newcastle that Ntutuko Matlaba is deserving to be in that leadership, because they will tell you stories of how the municipality performed under his watch, the multiple allegations that he has been presented with, threats for him to step aside, and all of these things. The face of this leadership that has been put in government does not necessarily mean that you are going to have success. One of the things that we'll have to watch very closely is Sihlezi Galala, in actual fact, and whether or not he'll have the maturity and temperament to deal with municipalities that are now vastly led by Inkatha Freedom Party in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Previously, what was a sore sticking issue in previous governments were instances, for example, when Nomusa Dube herself, when she was a MEC at COCTA, would have to place certain municipalities under administration through the provincial government, the accusations of playing politics and so on. And it will be very interesting to see whether there will be attempts to build some sense of cohesion amongst the parties, or will the ANC use its provincial government authority to try and assert itself, squeeze out competition from the IFP in the lead-up to the 2024 elections, which might alienate them further with certain constituencies. So they've got a lot to do to try and convince people that they are deserving to come back with 50% plus one in government in 2024.
Thank you so much for your time, Lukhona Mngunu, independent political analyst. When we come back, we'll be in conversation with Jomo Sibiya, the now former MEC for Human Settlements and Public Works in KZN.